Hi everyone, I'm Tal and welcome to Pay Attention. Today is a special day. This is our 10th episode. Woo! So I hope you're all sitting there with champagne glasses and, I don't know, candles, wherever you are. So in this episode, we're going to continue the topic that we started in the previous episode where we talked about chargebacks. And today is going to be a bit more, I would say, to the point, more in line with, we're going to look at things from a merchant's perspective. And in the previous episode, we sort of gave a broad introduction to the topic of chargebacks, what it is and how it came about, the history of it. And now I'm going to dive into things that might be more practical for the merchants listening. And the first thing I want to talk about before I start this is sort of address a question that one of the listeners sent to us. And the question was, what do I have against consumers and card issuers? And the truth of the matter is, you know, I don't have anything against consumers. Some of my best friends are consumers. I myself have, for research purposes only, of course, purchased things. And I understand where this is coming from. But I think that the system, the payment system that we have today, especially with regards to risk management in general, chargebacks, fraud, the way these mechanisms are handled, in particular these days, the system is very much skewed in favor of the consumer. Now, when we have, I am a firm believer in justice, and I believe that in order to have just systems, you need to have systems that are perfectly balanced or as close to perfectly balanced as possible between all participants in the system. And having a system that is skewed towards one participant or one participant group is not a just system. And that is my criticism. I don't think that any of the participants, be they issuers or cardholders or consumers, are inherently evil. Well, issuers are, but that's the system has created a situation in which merchants have to oftentimes defend themselves against accusations that are just not true. And that puts an added stress to people who are having a hard time just staying afloat. And one of the main things that we believe in at Fibonautics, and myself, you know, personally, it's my one of the key reasons on why I started this company, is because we believe in helping businesses succeed. We believe that businesses are an integral part of society, and that we should do everything that we can in order to help them beat the unbelievable odds that are stacked up against them. And I think that an unjust payment ecosystem that is skewed against businesses or skewed in favor of consumers at the expense of businesses is something that needs to be corrected. And I think that the card schemes, at least Visa and MasterCard, they are gradually understanding this, and they are making changes that, in my view, try to balance the system and make it a bit more of a just system. But time will tell. Time will tell, and it's an ongoing struggle, and it's not something that will be changed overnight, because we have decades of training customers to operate in a certain way, and now we have to do something different. So, on to the topic. So, if you are a merchant, how should you go about the whole issue of managing your risk and dealing with chargebacks? So, the first step, in my view, in solving the problem, and this could be any problem, is to have a very good understanding of what the problem is. And chargebacks is not different than any other aspect in life. You have to first understand, what does the chargeback problem mean for you for your business. And again, businesses differ, and these things would be different from business to business, even if they are in the same industry, same stage, etc. So the first thing to understand is how many chargebacks do you see? And in this, there are two core concepts that I'd like to address. One is the chargeback ratio. Now, what is a chargeback ratio? And this is a very important term, because it is, I would say, a key performance indicator or KPI or a benchmark that is commonly used within the payment industry to evaluate risk and also to measure performance with regards to chargeback. So how is that calculated and what is that? So the chargeback ratio is basically a percentage, and that percentage is the ratio between the number of chargebacks that you as a business have in a given month compared to the number of out of the total number of sales that you've had in that given month. So if you had, let's say, in a particular month, let's say in the month of May, you had 100 sale transactions, out of which 10 returned as chargebacks, then your chargeback ratio is 10%. So it's a very, very simple calculation to make. Important is that calculation only looks at the number of chargebacks and the number of sales transactions. Now, that's why sometimes this is also called the chargeback count ratio, or just the chargeback ratio typically refers to count. Now, why is that important? When you look at a business, if you are, let's say, in theory, naive, and you think that chargebacks may be an indication of how good a business would operate, then the percentage is very important. Obviously, chargebacks represent dissatisfied customers, and the higher the percentage of dissatisfied customers, the worse the business is. And I think to you as a business, That's a very, very important metric to know. You want to know how many dissatisfied customers you have. Obviously, you want that number to be as low as possible. But, and this is a very big point, you need to measure this with regards to the industry standards for the industry where you are operating, because some industries are more prone to chargebacks than not, in which case I wouldn't necessarily treat them as an indication of how bad your business is doing. Because if we are in an industry, for instance, adult entertainment, so typically chargeback ratio in adult entertainment can move between 5% and 10%, and I would say 100% of these is or close to 100% of these would be what we explained in the previous episode would be called friendly fraud. So let's say if you're an adult merchant and you have 4% chargeback ratio, it doesn't mean that 4% of your customers are unsatisfied with your services. It just means that you have 4% additional cost of doing business. So that's a way to treat this. But on the other hand, if the industry where you're operating in operates with chargeback levels that are, let's say, 0.5%, and you have 5% chargeback ratio, you need to have a long and hard conversation with yourself to try and find out why do you have so many customers that would be dissatisfied. You know, there has to be some kind of reason. So that's one thing to look at. The second ratio, which is also very important, although it's not an official ratio, and this is something I haven't mentioned. So the chargeback count ratio is a ratio that is also used by the card schemes and by acquirers and payment services providers to evaluate merchants. And that's why if you exceed a certain threshold, you may be put on a monitoring list, and there may be fines or there may be repercussions, your account may be terminated, etc. The next ratio, the chargeback amount ratio, is typically not a ratio that is looked at by the schemes. It's typically not a ratio that a lot of acquirers or PSPs look at, but I think it's a very important ratio for slightly different reasons. So the chargeback amount ratio, the calculation is very simple, except And it's the same as the chargeback count ratio, except in this case, instead of looking at the number of chargeback cases divided by the number of sales transactions, we look at the total volume of all chargebacks received within a given month, and we divide it by the total volume of sales within the same given month. And why do we do that, and what is the indication? So that could be that ratio could be a very good indication of financial stability, and can be a very good KPI or key performance indicator for you as a business to know whether you're going to have an issue. Because as you know, sales are just part of the business. So after you have sales, so this is revenues coming in, and then you have expenses, and when you deduct your expenses from the revenues, that margin is what you're left with, and that is your profits. And you need these profits in order to be able to maintain the business. And obviously, you need to have profits, and you need to be in the plus. Now, chargebacks reduce the total sales that you have, and if they exceed a certain amount, then you know that you're going to have a problem. For instance, let's assume that you run a business with 10% margins. That means that 10% of your sales is your profits. That's what you make. So you know how to calculate your expenses, etc., and you can plan ahead. If your chargeback ratio is 20%, that means that you are minus 10%. In your financial forecasts, and you need to take this into account. If you see suddenly a spike, so you need to be aware of this, because this would affect your business stability. We at Fibonautics, we use this all the time in order to calculate different elements regarding financial stability and being able to evaluate the credit risk of a business. And I think that's a very good metric for you to have as well, and to measure this, just so you know where you are at, and you can do proper and sound financial planning. So these are the two main ratios with regards to chargebacks. There's another third ratio with regards to fraud. So we haven't covered fraud in the previous episode, and you know what? Now that I think about it, let's make it an episode in itself, because I think there's a lot to say. Even though we call chargebacks that are done without any real reason friendly fraud, it's not actually fraud in the sense that I am referring to right now. It is related to chargeback. So, you know, the terms can be a bit misleading. So coming back to full circle to the beginning, the first thing you need to do is calculate your ratios. As I've explained, look at the ratios, calculate both for count and amount, and see what the numbers are. The second thing, once you do have these numbers, and it's very easy to calculate them. You mean you should get all of this information from your payment services provider, and they should provide you with the ratios. And if not, at least with the data that you will be able to calculate the ratios. And as you've seen, you can do this with every calculator. Now, the second thing is try and understand what the chargebacks are coming for. So what is the reason why you're having these chargebacks? So in this sense, you need to understand, in the previous episode, we said that every card scheme has their own reason code. So there's a wide variety of reason codes that are used to sort of explain why a chargeback happened. And as I've mentioned in the previous episode, we put them, or we can classify them, into four main categories. I would say that the three main categories that you need to be conscious of is fraud, meaning that people claim that they didn't perform the chargeback, the transaction, so that's why they're charging back. It wasn't them. The second is customer dispute. And the third one is processing errors. So these are things that, the person was supposed to be charged in US dollars, was charged in British pounds, was supposed to be charged 100, was charged 1,000. Different things that usually are technical that could happen, but they can also be human error if you input transactions manually. Now, I would say try and understand, now that you know the ratio, try and understand what is the main category of chargebacks that you're seeing. And based on that information, there are different things that you can and should do. And I'll give a couple of examples. So if you find out that most of your chargebacks are fraud related, and again, I remind you that I am in the camp that believes firmly that the real instances of fraud are very, very rare, I would say. But you might be getting a lot of fraud-based chargebacks because it's a very easy reason code to make. And we've discussed in the previous episodes on why certain issuers would choose that reason code. So I'm going to repeat this so you have, you know, a reason to listen to the previous episode. But if you start seeing that the majority of your chargebacks is fraud-based, you need to implement some kind of system that will be able to reduce or even eliminate that. For instance, using 3D Secure can significantly reduce this. Asking for different kinds of verification from your customers can help reduce and mitigate this. Implementing third-party systems that are able to sort of provide an extra layer of verification. All of these things can help reduce and eliminate that. But first, you need to know if this is your problem. And oftentimes, I see merchants jumping to implement an answer implement some kind of solution before they've analyzed their problem. Now, if you don't know what is your problem, how do you know if this is the right solution for it? You know, it's just, you know, common sense. The second thing that you need to look into, if you see that most of your chargebacks are service-based, what you can do is you can talk to your payment services provider and have them, if they don't do this automatically, have them dig deeper into what are the customers saying. When you file a chargeback for that category of customer dispute or customer dissatisfaction for one of these reason codes, typically there is a chargeback letter. In that chargeback letter, the customer puts in writing, or the card issuer puts in writing on behalf of the customer, what is the main claim. And it is possible to receive copies of this. Typically, these copies are not sent to merchants, so you will probably not be able to receive the actual copies, but you will be able to receive sort of the general gist of it. The PSP will be able to tell you, look, this is what people are saying. Read what people are saying. If you see a pattern of things that, you know, people are complaining about, this is your problem and this is what you need to fix. And I can give a couple of examples. So we run these analyses all the time for our merchants where we see this issue. And you'd be surprised. Sometimes we see that, for instance, we had a case, I think it was a year ago, where this was a merchant operating different sales agents. And 90% of the complaints were, 90% of chargebacks were complaints about a specific salesperson. So train the salesperson, fire the salesperson, but deal with the salesperson, you deal with the problem. It's not an overall problem with the business. And this is what the merchant did, and it solved the problem. A different example, we had a case that we've seen where certain terms were not explained correctly, or were explained in a certain way that created a certain perception with the customers, that they thought that they were going to get something when in fact they were not supposed to get that, but only in a particular promotion that was not really relevant for most of them. So again, this could lead to customer dissatisfaction, which leads to chargeback. So understand what people are complaining about and deal with the problem. So that is the main thing you need to do if you start seeing service or based chargebacks or chargebacks for customer disputes. The third is we talked about processing errors. Now, first of all, if you see that the majority of your chargebacks is related to processing errors, you need to try and understand what is the process. I mean, you should know what is the process in your business. Is it an automated process, in which case there might be an automatic problem? So again, look at what the reason code is, what people are complaining about. If, for instance, you see people complaining that, you know, they've been charged in the wrong currency, maybe the currencies are not specified correctly on your website. Maybe there is some kind of issue. And we've seen this in the past. You know, one of the merchants had an issue on their website that the website was trying to sort of automatically, based on the IP location, trying to ascertain from which country you're coming and displaying the pricing in that that currency. And something was off with that, and people were... And it showed the wrong currency, and people were being charged in the wrong currency. So, you know, if you see that, obviously correct it. If you see that the reason why you're getting processing errors is because you're processing transactions in a manual way, and you might have issues with that. For instance, we've seen cases where customers were complaining about being charged twice or three times. And when we've checked it, we've seen that some of the merchants were, they were inputting the transactions manually. And sometimes they would just click the button a couple of times. So if you see something like this, if this is the indication that you're getting, maybe you need to train people better. Maybe you need to hire people with more patience. But this is a very, very clear indication on what is the problem and what you need to do about that. So again, sort of doing a small recap. First of all, find out what is your chargeback ratio or ratios, because you have two. Second thing, dig deep into what the majority of these chargebacks is about, and what can you do in order to help and resolve these issues and address them. And the third one, which I think is also very important, if not the most important, is once you've done steps one and two, is to sort of try and understand on and measure yourself compared to both others as well as yourself. So what do I mean by that? First of all, you need to know the industry in which you're operating, and you need to know whether your results are different than others. Because, and again, I mentioned this earlier in this podcast, if everyone is facing the exact same issue, then it might not be a problem. It's sort of the cost of doing business. If, on the other hand, your results differ from the results of others, then it is an indication that maybe what you in particular are doing is problematic, and you need to amend this. So know these benchmarks compared to others. And again, this is something that you are likely to, you can and should get from your payment services provider. I mean, obviously, I know in certain industries, some are a bit more, I would say the merchants are a bit more of a close-knit group, and they do communicate with each other, even though they are technically competitors, but they do meet in certain situations like trade shows and conferences, etc. In other industries, it's more competitive, so people are reluctant to discuss things with their competitors. But if you can't get this from your competitors, you should get this from your PSP. Now, a good PSP will never tell you, look, this customer is having this issue, and is, you know, this merchant is having this issue, and this is their problem. But they will be able to tell you, look, in your particular industry, these are the ratios that we're seeing. These are the issues. You fit the bill. You don't fit the bill. You are unique in that element. So these are all things that you can and should receive from your PSP. The second thing within this element is measuring your situation in any given month compared to your previous performance. Do you see any kind of trend? So we see certain industries, we call this sort of the, let's say, the chargeback maturity indicator. What does that mean? How much time in days does it take from the moment that somebody made a transaction until they are charging it back? And it can be very different between different industries. In certain industries, it can be a week. In other industries, it can be 6 months. But there is this time frame, and it varies by between industries, and it can also vary between merchants based on a variety of factors. So first of all, know that number, because that will help you again with planning. The second thing is, do you see any kind of trend? So do you see, you know, you started with, you know, one chargeback, and now you're having five, and you know, next month it's 10, and afterwards it's 15, or is it, you know, staying relatively stable? The second is, it's just already, I keep on saying second, but it's already like the fifth. is there any kind of seasonality? Now, I mentioned in the previous episode that typically pretty much across the board, Christmas time is the time for chargebacks. So we see a spike in chargebacks in some industries more than others. But overall, there is an increase and we see a spike in chargebacks. Does that relate to you as well? Is there any other seasonality or seasonal changes that you should be aware of? Summer versus winter. Ski season. It could be national holidays. It could, and try and look at things not just across the board. Across the board is also very important. But if you work in different countries, try and break it down based on that. You know, seasonality in one country can be very different than seasonality in another country. And if you look at things, you know, sort of across the board or all together, it might balance things out that otherwise will not be balanced. So I would definitely do that and try and see where the problems are. Now, again, I divide the issues and the results into two groups. One, problems, meaning things you can try and solve, and cost of doing business. And you might see when you run this analysis that, you know, you see a spike of, let's say, 1% every Christmas time. And, you know, there's nothing you can do about that. That's just cost of doing business. Or maybe there is something you can do about that. That is also something, if you're not sure, this is also something that you can and should raise with your payment services provider. Usually you will have people that should, I'm putting all of my caveats aside with what I'm about to say. Your PSP should have people that know more than you about managing risk, and you can consult and you should consult with them about, okay, you know, I've seen this thing. Is it a problem? Is it just a cost of doing business issue? Can I do something about it? What can I do about it? What's the best way to implement this? You should get some very interesting results. And then it sort of depends on you, on how and where you implement this. We are sort of out of time for this episode, but before we go, I want to address something that actually Miri raised when we were discussing prior to this episode. And that is also something that it didn't raise directly as a question from the listeners, but it's sort of a general vibe. There is this question mark on is or are chargebacks a part of life for a merchant? Will every merchant have chargebacks? Will every merchant have to deal with them? And I'm afraid that the sad truth of it is yes, it is a part, an inherent part of doing business. You need to know about this. You need to be prepared. Again, definitely in certain industries, you will get more chargebacks than others. In certain markets, you will get more chargebacks than others. Based on your business model or business practices, you might get more than others that operate in a different way or have a different operational model. But I don't know any merchant who has never received a chargeback. And I think, you know, much like unicorns, they may exist, but I haven't seen one. You know, part of the list of topics that as a business owner, you need to know and you need to be well-versed in how to treat them, and you need to know what to do in such cases. You know, you can put chargebacks on that list. It will happen at some point. And you shouldn't freak out. Just learn how to deal with this. And also that's why we're here for, to try and help people and make it as easy and as painless as possible. So, thank you all for listening. We will continue this in the next episode. I think we will maybe do another episode where we talk about fraud. Then we do another episode where we talk about how to deal with fraud. And then we tie everything together. It'll probably be Christmas time, so it will be my present for the world. And that's it. 10th episode. Thank you all for listening. You are awesome. As much as I enjoy listening to the sound of my own voice, the only reason I'm doing this is because I enjoy having you listening to me, and you guys are awesome, and stay so.